welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I thank you for joining with us, and thank you, and ask you to join with our, or visit our sponsors and supporters, and just say thank you. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Marty Kaminsky.
Tori Smith.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have a couple of new folks here, and I am just blown away for their reason for coming here. And now, do you folks want to explain the reason? Because
introduce yourselves.
We've been here and chatted for a while, but like I said, I'm blown away.
Okay, my name's Marty Kaminsky. I'm a Marine Corps retired Master Gunnery Sergeant. I did 26 years, and I was a 46 mechanic and crew chief that whole time. Never went to drill field, never did recruiting. We're here today to talk about Quilts of Valor. Quilts of Valor was an organization founded back in 2003 from a mother who had a son in Iraq. And one night she had a dream. And in that dream, she saw war demons all around her son. And in the second part of that dream, she saw him with a quilt over his shoulders and how his whole demeanor had changed. So since 2003, we have presented over 400,000 quilts to active duty and veterans.
Wow.
Yes, wow. No two quilts are the same, and people all over the United States make those quilts. I quilt, Tori quilts. We've got a large group of people that help make this happen.
And I was blown away, come to find out that I guess I...
You were nominated.
I was nominated.
We have two people on the panel today that are getting quilts. Bob Griswold and Pat Park are both veterans, and they're both being presented with quilts.
Yay!
And I'm sorry, it blows me away.
Where is the headquarters of the organization? Do you have a headquarters?
There's one.
We do.
North Carolina. Each state has one.
But the big headquarters, gosh, you caught me on the spot there, because I can't remember where they're headquartered out of.
But where's the one in North Carolina?
We're all over North Carolina.
Yeah,
there's really no headquarters in North Carolina. We have a group coordinator, but we don't have a headquarters per
right.
se.
You don't have a building, but
no,
you have somebody
no.
that that represents.
Yes.
That
yep.
people
now,
can contact.
Roughly, how many quilters do you have? Do you know?
Well, it
varies because we have like different. Like I just started a group, Vets to Vets, which is how you came into my life on this.
And let's figure out how I came into this because I'm blown away.
Well, your son-in-law's mother contacted me.
Up in Massachusetts, yeah.
Yes, about issuing and presenting a Quilt of Valor to you because she had nominated you. And it's a nationwide program. So, like, somebody in Hawaii could nominate somebody here, and if they choose, they can mail us the quilt, which she mailed the quilt to my house, and then from there, I take it to present it to you.
And it's really not supposed to be a surprise, because some veterans don't like surprises.
Some well, have weak hearts,
put it this way. At least I was given about a week's
okay.
worth of notification
right. okay.
to try to figure out.
And Pat was given, what, 2 days?
2 days.
Well, when I got mine, I had people that were asking me questions, but I didn't know until the day they said, are you going to be at church tomorrow? And I said, yes. And they called me and my best friend up in front of the congregation and presented us our quilts. So we had no idea that it was going to happen.
And likewise, I had no idea, but now I've found out my daughters have been conspiring.
For a while.
Well, it's a great program, and we've done World War II vets, we've done Korean War vets, at least four Korean War vets that I've done.
Yes.
And a few World War II and many Vietnam. And then they don't have to necessarily, we just did one, the 13th of a Marine that's stationed at Camp Lejeune, and he's still active duty, and we presented one to him.
So when you go through the nomination criteria, it talks about being touched by war. And I think that anybody that went to boot camp signed a blank check saying that you would go anywhere that you were told to go. So everybody's been touched by war some way.
Either directly or indirectly.
You did make yourself available.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that blew me away, and this was a number of years ago when our grandkids were little, we were in New York visiting, and we went to a breakfast with Santa event. Because when you're visiting your grandkids, you go wherever, you know.
Wherever Santa is.
And you don't think about the details. And we walked into breakfast with Santa, and I realized that breakfast with Santa was put on by the Christian Motorcycle Club of America and the Hells Angels working together. And what they had in common and what they were doing, a lot of them were Vietnam veterans, and they were raising money for the returning Iraqi veterans because they said, I don't want any veteran ever to be treated the way the Vietnam veterans were when they came home.
Yes. Yeah.
And just that combination of those two groups working together blew me away, but they had a common purpose.
What has been the reaction of Vietnam vets to...
They cry.
Do they?
They cry, because the minute he says, welcome home, they
yeah.
use it.
That's something that was yeah. not said. Mm.
No, that was...
And any of us that grew up in that period, I was in under the Vietnam era, too. I mean,
me too.
We know what it was like, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, regardless of where you served, I mean, all of mine was North Atlantic, chasing submarines.
Yeah.
And, but again, you made yourself vulnerable.
Yeah.
And and when I did get out, yes, you were, I'm going to say, considered a horrible person because you had served.
Yeah.
And
I'm so happy.
Can't let that happen again.
The tide has changed on that attitude.
Yes.
I mean, now their embrace, it's very common to have a veteran's hat on somebody, and someone walks up to him and says, thank you for your service, and so mm-hmm. on and so forth.
You know what I say? Thank you for thanking me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
But the other thing that I think is worries me a bit is during the war in Vietnam, a large part of the population had some connection to the military.
Oh, yes.
They knew somebody, or they had a relative or something. And we have lost that. Mm-hmm. The number of people now with a connection to the military is down to like 1-2%, and that's not good for the country.
Plus, half our parents were in the World War II.
Yes.
Like I told you, my mom was an Army nurse, and my dad was in the Navy.
My dad was one of the people who landed on Utah Beach.
Yeah.
My dad was too young, and my brother was almost too young for Vietnam. He got his draft notice right before the war ended.
Yeah.
So they never actually called him up.
But, yeah, now...
Do you do quilts for Cold War vets?
We do them for everybody. They don't have to. Anyone that was in the military.
Yeah, see, during Vietnam, I was a Vietnam era vet.
Right.
But I was stationed in West Berlin behind the wall.
Qualified year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I identify more as a Cold War vet than a Vietnam era vet.
Yeah. There's really...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you went to boot camp, you signed that blank check.
You qualify.
I went to boot camp, and I had makeup class.
That's fine.
I had it, too, in basic training, and I was like, what is
I
that?
I'm ready to wear eyeliner for my country.
Yeah. Don't pound.
Oh, I pounded. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing the most wonderful people we have met through this, too. And I'm excited about this fall. Tell them about that,
Doc. Oh, yeah. I ran into a veteran at Eggs Up in Jacksonville. He was wearing a veteran's ball cap. And I went up and talked to him about Quilts of Valor. And he was he's the last surviving Apache code talker from Vietnam. I didn't know we had code talkers in Vietnam.
The only surviving one.
But wow. He did 103 missions, and the enemy never broke his code, and he was also a tunnel rat. So October, November time frame in Anzo County, they do a veterans powwow. And I'm going to present him with his quilt during the Veterans Powwow.
Which is going to be pretty exciting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know they had code talkers in Vietnam.
Yep. Yeah. I didn't either.
That is amazing. I mean, I think the code talkers made a big difference during World War II.
Oh yes, they did. Yeah. Yep.
I just watched that movie just a week or so ago.
And again, when you go in, you really don't know what you're going to be called to do. You just sign that
and you just do it.
Blank check.
Yeah.
And
we're glad to do it too.
We're glad to do it, and yeah. like I mentioned earlier, it was a job you love to hate.
Yeah.
And given the opportunity, boy, I'd do it right all over again.
Well, you know what they say in the military: if the GIs aren't complaining, they're not happy. And I was reading some Pacific War Theater history, and they said the GIs, the Marines, are always complaining about the chow.
Yes.
The submariners are not, though. They have the best food out of any branch,
well,
any military.
You'd have to.
But they pay for it.
Right. I know when at the National Security Agency in the chow hall, they had Marines that ate there, and the Marines had a big sign painted on the wall that said, if your eyes are bigger than your stomach, shove it in your eye.
You know, I will say that having been deployed on a number of ships or whatever else, the only one is if you got the lobster and or the steak or whatever else, guess what? Your cruise is extended. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters again. Thank you. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you want to take us?
I just wanted to ask a question. How do you feel the attitudes of the military toward the military have changed in recent years?
I think Trump is doing a very good job of turning that around. and making people appreciate what the military does.
Well, I think he's also very much so changing, as you said, what the military does. He's changing it from being a social experiment to being a ready fighting force.
Right. Yes.
Well, Pete Hegseth has brought back drill instructors acting like drill instructors, because evidently that changed in recent years. And now they're going to be back to what we understand from all the war movies that we've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody caught it, but recently there was a physical fitness challenge between Robert Kennedy Jr. and Pete Hegseth. There were something about doing 50 pull-ups in 5 minutes, and then they did 100 push-ups or something. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. is 71, and I think he lost by a little bit.
I would say so.
But not by much.
No.
Pete barely beat him because Pete was pumping his legs to get that last couple of pull-ups. You know, that's cheating.
But it was interesting, I mean, to have a Secretary of Defense and a Secretary of Health and Human Services that are in that good a shape themselves is a good move.
Yes. Well, Pete likes to go work out with the troops when he's
nearby
touring his regime, his command, his fiefdom, which is a good way of creating comradeship. And
it also helps you if you're working out with them. You're living in their world for a little bit and maybe getting some insight that you wouldn't get from the behind a desk.
Well, the press and the Dems are on his back every minute of every day, criticizing him for using time to work out with the troops when he could be sit behind the desk, you know, looking at paper.
Well, again, as the Marines are known as a cult.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's well deserved because they are a family. They are a family, and they are watching out for each other. They really, really are, and that's regardless of rank, they are watching out for each other.
But I think there's a camaraderie, regardless of what branch or what rank or anything else,
and
automatically with vets when you meet them and work with them.
And that's good, and that's a good factor. Yeah.
One thing that I'd like to say is I had surgery not too long ago at New Bern. And when you went in, if you were a veteran, you got a special bracelet. And if anybody passed that was a veteran while you were there or anything, those workers line the corridor with total respect of that person as they leave the hospital. And to me, I thought, wow, I never thought I'd live long enough to see something like this transpire, you know? And I was happy to see it. I thought, how wonderful is that?
They are, they do recognize that that's there.
I think it's great.
They recognize that you did serve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I was I was part of the invasion of Grenada 42, 43 years ago. I still have breakfast every Wednesday morning with a friend of mine that was in that invasion with me.
Wow.
So we still get together.
And the amazing thing about that invasion was because it was not given to the press ahead of time,
right,
there were no leaks.
Yeah.
Well, and it was odd that the Army didn't know we were there, and we didn't know the Army was there. It was kind of messed up. And we were using road atlases to navigate because nobody had a map of Grenada. Yep.
And how long were you actually there? How long did you stay?
We were there for like a week. And we didn't realize... We really didn't know the bombing happened in Beirut because we were busy getting ready for the invasion that we were trying to do.
Wow.
And they did lose a hell of a...
We lost two Cobras the very first morning. We lost three Cobra pilots, and the one that survived lost an arm. So it was a rough beginning.
But we stopped what we went in there to stop.
Oh, yeah, and we got all the American students out of there. Yeah.
And we got the movie Heartbreak Ridge.
Yeah.
Don't forget. This is the sound of your enemy's preferred weapon. Remember when he shot the AK-47 yep. over their heads?
Yep.
When I took the bar exam, I studied for it in Virginia, and I flew to Albuquerque, New Mexico, since I was taking the New Mexico bar. And so I'm studying, the last little bit of studying the night before the bar, and I had the TV on, and Heartbreak Ridge came on. And the line that Clint Eastwood says, overcome, improvise, adapt, that just resonated with me. So the next day when I'm sitting there, we had a whole day of essay answers. And I'm sitting there going, improvise, overcome, adapt. Yes!
That was quite an interesting invasion of it. And again, no GPSs. You used a landline, or, you know, in the movie, they used a landline telephone to call back to D.C. And communications is not what we have now.
No.
And again, when I was in the service, if we ever want to get a thought from me on the ship back to Mary, something to go round robin, a thought was 10 to 12 days or 14 days, for a thought to make it a round trip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there were the $15 3-minute phone calls from Italy at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Or the Mars station. Over.
Over?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The military's come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure, excuse me, if we looked at the jobs and the, I don't want to say professions, I don't know quite what I want.
Specialties
in today's military and compared them to what we knew in the 60s and 70s, they would be very different.
Yeah, I saw changes even, I was crypto maintenance, and we had some equipment that still had tubes. And others, we had multi-layered solid-state boards. Even then, you could see the progression going. And it was a year-long school.
Some things don't change.
Right.
Because one of the guys that used to be the representative from Utah, and he has his own podcast now. He's on Fox News all the time. He was at Elmendorf. He was on a congressional junket, and they stopped at Elmendorf to refuel to go to Asia. And he said the AWACS was there, and he asked if he could go on the AWACS. And they said, a couple of phone calls were made, sure, you can go on the AWACS. He said the people in there were thrilled because they just got Windows 95.
Oh, no.
He said Microsoft had already stopped supporting Windows 95, but they were thrilled to just now get Windows 95.
Well, I remember when you were in computer school that computers were the size of the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
And the temperature in the room had to be 65 degrees.
We had it in high school hooked to Dartmouth computers, which was a building full of these 12-foot-high banks of equipment. But and it was all teletype.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's how we would write our math programs back then.
And every result that you got was on green bar paper.
But I think we lost a lot when we started using computers because we quit looking people in the eye. If we had something to say to them, you sent them an email, so you could be as nasty as you wanted without looking them in the eye, because you would never say kind of stuff if you had to look at them.
Yeah. If you were in arm's reach, right?
Pardon?
Pow, if you were in arm's reach.
Yes.
And so many relationships have been destroyed by text messaging.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to say in Massachusetts, we watched two churches get split up and destroyed because of text messaging within the church.
Because you don't have body language with a text message.
Right.
You can't tell if somebody is serious, if they're kidding around, or you have no way.
You know, I'm going really aside. Now, President Trump had that meeting with Zelensky this week. He had the meeting with Putin last week in
Alaska. Yeah.
And this meeting here with Zelensky was not only with Zelensky, but also many of the other players from the European
area. Which I'm glad they included.
And watching in the paper, they had shown photographs of how those people disrespected Trump back 3 months ago, 4 months ago, whatever else. And here they were as those other leaders from the European Union coming there to respect Trump, trying to end this war. Because what we see, and you know, again, here we're talking with the veterans. The veterans apparently at many times have been just considered the pawn in some kind of financial game. Eisenhower warned us of the cost of war, the military industrial complex, and that the soldiers were the pawns. And President Trump is not treating the soldiers like pawns, nor is he treating the residents like pawns. He is there to try to save lives, to stop war. He will do it with economics, but he will not do it, not unless he has to. He won't do it with the weapons.
Did you notice that Zelensky had a suit jacket on?
He didn't have a tie, but he had a suit jacket.
He had a suit jacket on. You know, small steps.
The sleeves were too long, but he had one on.
It had a collar.
It was somebody else's.
Yeah, probably.
So borrowed the jacket.
That's all right. He came. That's good.
He did come.
Well, I've said before, the war in Ukraine will end when oil prices go below $55 a gallon. Because at that point...
A barrel. That's a lot for a gallon.
Because
yeah.
Russia can't support its economy and a war. It's going to be dicey at 60, but 55 will end the war.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thanks for listening.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Again, welcome. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to go through now. We have the opportunity, and again, I'm blown away Marty, would you please tell us what?
Certainly. I'm going to start with a poem. A few pieces of cloth from people who care to honor your service, it only seems fair. Carefully chosen materials of red, white, and blue, sewn together for those patriotic and true. A top piece together with caring and pride, then quilted with backing and a warm layer inside. Every stitch and seam sewn from the very start with appreciation and gratitude straight from the heart. Our hope with this quilt is to make sure you knew we appreciate all you've done and all you have been through. And that's for both of you.
Thank you.
And the first certificate is for Petty Officer Second Class Robert Griswold. Have we got one of those here?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
All that is beautiful.
United States Navy, August 20th, 2025. The Quilts of Valor Foundation wishes to recognize you for your service to our nation. We consider it our privilege to do so. Though we may never know the extent of your sacrifice to protect and defend the United States of America, we award you this Quilt of Valor as an expression of gratitude from a grateful nation.
Oh, how pretty.
Wow.
Beautiful.
That is gorgeous.
I know the radio this listeners can tell how beautiful it is.
That's why I'm
emoting.
Bob's son-in-law's mother,
yeah.
Cindy Nagel.
Cindy Nagel, my son-in-law's mom, made this.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
That is beautiful.
I thank you.
That
the
is
bottom
beautiful.
Of my heart.
And here's the label that she made
that is
for
beautiful.
It.
The back is beautiful, too.
Yes.
Isn't that pretty?
It tells you when she started it and when she finished it.
So this Quilt of Valor, name of quilt, Grand Old Flag, top sewn by Cindy
Nagel.
Nagel.
Yeah.
Age 65, plus, plus, plus. Location, Oxford, Massachusetts. Quilted by Merlina Foley. Date started 1st of February, 2025. Completed on the 3rd of May, 2025. Presented to Robert M. Griswold.
Awesome.
Dedication, honorably served in the United States Navy.
Thank you.
Yay. Now he's got to put it over your shoulders
very
so
nice.
Make it official.
It's beautiful.
Okay, wait. Fold it in half. There you go.
Can you get this on the radio?
Here.
We're not as big as Glenn Beck and the people that have the video cams. Mm. Maybe someday.
Wow.
Robert, awesome. Thank you for your service.
I thank you.
And welcome home.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Bob's all tearing
really
up.
That's
he really?
Yeah.
Well, I have to do the blow-by-blow because it is.
Yeah, great. I know.
It is emotional. I love it. I mean, that's authentic.
Yeah,
it is.
I do. I thank you. Thank you
Certainly.
So much. And welcome home to you also.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now for Patricia's. Patricia A.
Major Patricia A. Park, United States Air Force, the 20th of August, 2025. The Quilts of Valor Foundation wishes to recognize you for your service to our nation. We consider it our privilege to do so, though we may never know the extent of your sacrifice to protect and defend the United States of America. We award you this Quilt of Valor as an expression of gratitude from a grateful nation.
This is the girl that made it, did that one, when she gave it to me.
Okay.
And this is her name.
Liz Heath?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Liz Heath, wherever you are. It's great, gratefully
Oh, she's
welcome.
A hoot. Her and her mom, when they get together and quilt.
They're from Connecticut, but don't hold it against them.
Yeah. Well, it's gorgeous. And it's just the right size to lay under on the couch, too.
Here we go.
Do I get a scepter?
No. We might give you a crown.
And a hug.
Another Air Force girl.
Another Air Force
you
girl.
You and me both.
All right, smile, Pat.
and congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mr. Stoneman.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, that was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like I kind of horned in on Bob's thing.
Why?
No.
Nope.
He was willing to share it, so we made it happen. Right, Bob?
Very nice.
Thank you for including me.
I'm going to say, and again, blown away that I'm being honored. I can't steal that. Blown away that we're being, and I just want to make sure that we can also share this with other folks that don't even know about the organization. And it is such a privilege to know that this organization is here.
And it talks about when you nominate somebody, being touched by war. And anybody that goes to boot camp signs a blank check saying they'll go anywhere that they're told to go to. So everybody's been touched by war some way.
I send it to some.
It's the needs of the Air Force. Remember that one?
Yes.
We're going wherever the needs of the Air Force send us.
Yes, and it's
this is a mission that him and I love dearly. That's why the group's called Vets to Vets.
Now we also want to say the organization itself now. QOVF.org.
And there's a nomination tab at the top. You don't have to join or anything. Just click the nomination tab and go through the process.
Okay.
And also, if you're a quilter.
And you want to be involved.
Want to be involved.
These are beautiful quilts.
Oh, my gosh.
They are just gorgeous.
Both of those.
Oh.
Very talented people.
Do we get to keep the certificate?
I spelled August wrong, so I need to fix that. Yes.
On the radio. You just announced that to the whole world. You know that.
But everything's right on your label system.
Okay, we're going to go in a totally different direction right now. Kim, you had something you wanted to bring up. Oh, Kim and Glenn Fink have joined us.
Yes, sorry we're late. We had another appointment. Well, I was made aware today of an article that was on the Daily Haymaker, which is a conservative blog. It's been around for years. But there is an article that is published August 19th, and it's talking about basically the Rhino Republicans and how they like to kind of backhandedly endorse and choose our candidates for our political races. And right now, there is a competition for the Tillis seat in the Senate, and Michael Whatley and Don Brown are the two candidates, as Andy Nielsen suspended his campaign a couple weeks ago. But the Rhino Republicans, the establishment Republicans, the big money Republicans have already decided that they like Michael Whatley, and they have put out a preview, a save the date card, of a huge fundraiser for Michael Whatley. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but what gets my undies in a bundle is on the bottom of it, they always have to say who this is paid for by, and this is paid for by Whatley Victory Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Whatley for Senate, North Carolina First, the Republican National Committee, the National Republican Senate Committee, and the North Carolina Republican Party. In my perspective, that statement of payment is akin to an endorsement of Michael Whatley over Don Brown by the North Carolina Republican Party, by the national senatorial campaign. And I think that this is very unfair, and I'm tired of the establishment picking our candidates. We have a primary to get through. And to make matters worse, this is on Facebook, and our District 3 chairwoman has been going back and forth with several people, and some of them rather pointedly and rudely, in my opinion, about why this is legal. And somebody questioned the loophole aspect of it and the endorsement implication. And Michelle indicates that they're not endorsing, and that if candidate A was raising money and raising lots of money and then lost the primary, that those funds are forfeited. So candidate B should be thanking candidate A for doing this. And after all, candidate B, if he was confident enough, could do it also. So I'm just really angry about how this is presented. I'm really angry that the people of influence are taking a position like this. And we've gotten so divisive within the Republican Party. And I know that this group is a nonpartisan, but we are conservatives, and it's just not right. The big money and the old establishment shouldn't be picking our candidates.
Isn't there a rule in the local Republican Party that you can't endorse candidates in the primary?
And I think that's why they're parsing the words, that this isn't an endorsement per se. It's still a huge support for one of the candidates. So, and they're not paying for this. I mean, this is a coordinated fundraiser. So those folks, they may have to rent out a space, but when they get the money that comes in, they won't necessarily have to pay anything. Maybe they will.
Go ahead.
No, I was just wanting to make a point. And this is where it gets me. We want to grow the party, right? We want to grow a conservative party. Yet, it's this sort of thing that drives people from being a Republican to unaffiliated. So they are burning down the party over something that they're trying to push through that is technically wrong, but they'll figure out a way to make it okay.
They're parsing the language, and they're ticking people off as they parse that language.
I was an unaffiliated voter for a number of years because of something similar to this. And what I will say is Whatley is a top-down choice. Don Brown is a grassroots-up choice. Do we want our representative to represent the grassroots, or do we want them to represent Washington, D.C.? Now, I can understand why President Trump might like Whatley in there, because certainly Tillis has not been a reliable vote. But President Trump is going to be there for 3.5 years. This senator is going to be there for 6.
And the reason why he'll like him, that Trump likes him, is he'll do his bidding.
Yes, and we want somebody who's going to do North Carolina's bidding.
Correct.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters again. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Folks, join with us on August 28th at Moore's Barbecue. The fourth Thursday of each month, 6:30 to 8 p.m., the CCTA meets. Again, Moore's Barbecue, Dr. MLK Boulevard, New Bern. Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And Marty and Tori had to leave, but we're here to try to just continue the craziness.
Well, I want to finish off the topic from my perspective on the money thing. And so much of politics has fallen into the category of he who with the most money wins. And in this case, they're saying, or their perception is, he who can raise the most money wins. And I want to know how that represents Eastern North Carolina. We need a people representative, not a big business money maker representative. And if you look at the cost of attending this, Joe Average isn't going to be able to go to this. So who is it that we are asking to pick our candidate? And just based on this, it is assumed that it's an endorsement from in my opinion, and it just irritates me.
And it might not be technically an endorsement, but that's where it really makes you angry. There are workarounds so that you don't break the technical part of the law or the regulation you circumvent that and you break the intent.
And the implication leads to this is the bigger name or the more chosen name, and it doesn't give the opponent a fair chance in a primary when it looks like all the big dogs are, you know, that in North Carolina, I want people to remember who Michael Whatley was, and his history. And I want you to look at Don Brown, who he is, who he was, and what is his history. And I maintain that Don Brown has a much higher level of integrity than Mr. Whatley does. Now, Mr. Whatley has the name recognition because of working with the RNC, and I'm sure that's how he's got Trump's endorsement. But I was at the state convention when Michael Whatley's buddy's software screwed the voting out, and we didn't get our elections done. And that was supposed to be so safe and secure. And if you weren't in the room, you weren't supposed to be able to vote. But we had someone from Wisconsin call in and be able to vote. We ended up with a mess. We ended up with appointed officials instead of elected officials. And this was, you know, Whatley's buddy's untested, undocumented software. And it was a fix from the get-go. And this just feels like a fix.
I just want to add to that. We need a senator who represents North Carolina. We haven't had one of those for a while. And I don't think that Whatley is that person. I believe that he is the Washington establishment trying to impose its views on North Carolina. And I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you're a member of the Uniparty, I don't want you here. And I'm afraid that's what we would get.
I think what you're saying there is, I know that we had Don Brown on this show. Now, again, we're not endorsing Don, but we got to hear his positions and I'm not going to say arguments, but his discussions as to why he took certain positions. Have we heard the same thing from Michael Whatley? I don't think we've heard that yet.
And just to make sure that we give him the opportunity, we need to send him an invitation to do this show, and he doesn't have to show up in New Bern. He can do it.
We can do it remotely.
You can do it remotely, but give him the opportunity.
Yeah. And so Michael Whatley, if you want to get on the air, write something to bob@cctaxpayers.com, and we will accommodate you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to totally change the subject. There's been a lot of controversy about the fact that the National Guard is now active in Washington, D.C. And there was an article posted August 20th on Substack by Don Serber. And there are a couple of facts in that article that I want to point out. In 2023, the homicide rate for black people in Washington, D.C. was 88.2 per 100,000. The homicide rate for non-black people in Washington, D.C. was 6.1 per 100,000. That's a significant difference. But there are protests about the National Guard. And someone from Newport Coast, California, who understood how to use cell phone GPS, tracked who was at the protests. And he's tracking one of the protests here. There were 318 mobile devices present, including law enforcement and media. 92% of those had been present at five or more past DC protests. 67 of those people are likely to be federal government employees, with their mobile devices accessing both keyboard-required garages and federal buildings, including the Department of Defense, Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, FBI, Department of the Treasury. 9 of these mobile devices access the White House via the Northwest Gate located on Pennsylvania Avenue across from Lafayette Square, 3 or more times in the past 30 days. Most are local residents. 86% of devices spending evenings in a home worth $850,000 or more, and 34% in homes worth over $2.5 million. So the people protesting the increased police force are not the people who were impacted by the crime in Washington.
Well, I want to know if they have access to the White House, if Trump has access to this report. Because, you know, you destroy things from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It would be interesting to have him get a hold of these numbers. And there's another story in the article. Maureen Dowd, who was a Washington correspondent, we had dinner in Georgetown recently, and when we came back to my house, where my sister's car was parked, she was absent a Buick. 2 police officers responded to her call and said they could do little because car thefts were happening by teenagers. One officer said that even if they saw the perp driving in her car, they couldn't chase him because of laws passed by the D.C. Council. So eventually, they found her car. She had to pay a $215 towing charge. She found all kinds of junk in her car. She had the car detailed, and she was shopping in Washington. When she got back to her car, it was T-boned. So while the car was in other hands, she got over $1,800 worth of speed camera tickets, and the car was stolen just after she got out of it. So I think the police are needed.
Well, I think one of the things that we need to remember is President Trump has decided to take action there to save lives, regardless of race or orientation. He's there to save lives.
Or party.
Or party. He's there to save lives. And saving lives involves probably neighborhoods that nobody wants to go into, but he wants to save lives there.
And the statistics, since he sent in the National Guard, carjackings are down 83%, and robberies have dropped 46%. Those are significant numbers.
Okay. We're going to swap. Pat, you want to bring us up to it? Something totally different.
No, actually, I was talking about the same thing.
The same thing. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look at the pictures of the protesters. They're all white. So the people who are not at risk in D.C. are the ones complaining about making black people's lives safer. The irony is extreme.
Yes.
Yes.
And it makes you wonder, the people that were at the protest that are from Homeland Security, Justice, FBI, Department of the Treasury, Department of Defense, Department of Veterans Affairs, whether or not those were seated in the protest, just like the FBI did with the January 6th people. So how many actual protesters did we have?
Yeah.
So if you took the government employees away, I'm particularly worried about the ones that went to the White House. But if you took the federal employees away, how many people would you have left protesting? And how much did they get paid for?
And because, who paid them?
Well, because there's a company called Protest On Demand. They recruit your protesting people and pay them.
Oh.
He was interviewed. I can't remember whose show he was interviewed on, but... But a good interview. I mean,
He's bipartisan.
He doesn't care, you know. And he says most of the time we will hire people that agree in some sense with whatever the position is, We're just helping them. They may have to take time off from work, so we're going to pay them to...
Well, he can try to make himself feel better, but it's disgusting.
Yes, it is. It's still paid protesters.
Yes.
So if Black Lives Matter, wouldn't these protesters be supporting the introduction of the National Guard?
It matters until it's a Trump action, and nothing
can Trump
will override, that. Nothing will trump that, the fact that they cannot accept anything that Trump is driving.
Right, right.
Well, I noticed just on some news feeds where they were showing areas before and after pictures of the homeless encampments. And in the before pictures, you see lots of tents and lots of trash. And in the after pictures, you see people running and jogging and moms with strollers. Which place would
what
you want to live?
Prefer?
Yeah, where do you want to live? And if you're talking about the safe work environment, if I had a daughter working there, I would feel a lot better knowing that her parking lot was going to be safe for her to walk into instead of having to go out.
Yeah.
And I have to reference it was a television spot with Schumer, and they ask him, well, are you scared when you're out on the street and that sort of thing? He says, no, I'll go and walk and do, and says, no, I'm not scared. There's not, it's
yeah,
not
how
dangerous.
Yeah, how many people
it's
does
not,
he have with him
yeah,
carrying
it's not,
guns?
It's not dangerous. I'm chill.
Yeah, he's not scared, and neither are his bodyguards.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Actually, Jimmy Fallon on his podcast the other day, he said that they were in D.C. As part of his show to film man on the street interviews, and he had a security team along with the cameras and the, you know, and he said the security teams would tell him, no, you can't film on this street. You can stand over there, but you can't go down that street. He said even the security people would not let us go on certain streets.
Wow.
Yeah, there are no man's land there right in our
and
our
I
country's
can remember
capital.
Way back when, in terms of clearing out the homeless people, when Bill Clinton spoke at Cooper Union in New York, and I don't even remember what year it was he was president. Before he spoke, they sent in whoever to get all the homeless people out of the area.
Right.
So it's not like this is a Republican thing. The Democrats do it whenever they're having company.
Did anybody see the video of the two women that were arrested for trespass, for refusing
yes.
to leave the bar?
I'm
yeah.
an AG.
I'm an AG.
Assistant Attorney General in Rhode Island.
Right, yes. And the Rhode Island AG said, was interviewed, and he said she's embarrassed all the other AAGs. She's embarrassed me. We don't know what it's going to take to make this right.
Is she now a former AG?
No,
not yet. No, he made it sound like he wasn't going to fire. I would have fired her for one reason. Both times she quoted a policy or a rule, she got it wrong.
Ah.
For one thing, she said, you're not Mirandizing me. They don't need to Mirandize you if they're arresting you, but they're not going to question you. So on TV, when they arrest you, they go, you're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to say anything after you're under arrest, as long as you don't ask them any questions. That she's in the appellate division. That comes up in the appellate division constantly because they represent the state when criminal cases are on appeal. So she should have known that, you know, backwards and forwards. And then the other thing about turning off the camera, that was for witnesses and state or victims, not for any time I tell you to turn it off, you have to turn it off. That was wrong. So it's like she must not be a very good AAG. She needs to go.
Folks, on that, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening to the CCT8 Wake Up Call Show. Folks, join with us on August 28th at Moore's Barbecue. The fourth Thursday of each month, 6:30 to 8 p.m., the CCTA meets. Again, Moore's Barbecue, Dr. MLK Boulevard, New Bern.